We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I'm Greg Scheman with Pete Shepherd. Rick Church on the other side of the glass with the ones and twos. Chris on vacay. Still.
Isn't Gabe Petty having a wonderful time?
You said he was bouncing around some other countries too?
Well, he's going. I know he's going to Italy.
I didn't know Italy was part of the deal.
Yeah, I think he's...
Nice.
I'm gonna give you the whole itinerary, but he's going on the boat. He's going to all the great football / soccer nations, so he can promote the book.
Okay.
We still don't know the name of it.
The book tour.
But he's doing well.
Sounds good.
I texted him last night. I sent him the picture. I said, "You're now." I didn't want to bother him at all.
Oh, the one where we got aged.
I go, "You're now Megan Rapinoe."
Did you get a response?
Yeah. And he laughed. He goes, "Yeah, I saw it earlier." He said. He said something else. I sent him something back. He's like, yep. Then he said, I'm on my third bottle of wine. I go, okay, I won't bother anybody. He goes, you're not bothering me. I said, no, I just thought the picture was funny. Yeah, it's not his third bottle of wine.
Third bottle of wine
was,
in one day?
What's that, you know?
By the way, they do have less alcohol in the wine over there in Italy.
No, it depends. Well, he's still in Paris. Yeah.
French wine. Grapes.
Well, it depends.
Yeah, it does.
Depends how you want to ferment. It depends. I mean, you can make wine as strong or weak as you want.
Grape
depending
juice.
On what you do and how you ferment the grapes.
Yeah.
Or it becomes grappa.
All right. We just had Wikipedia. And as you know, we name our textures. Sometimes
yeah.
they ask for it. Sometimes we give them appropriate names. There was a couple of times I gave you hints.
Well, I was going to get John Daly. You didn't have to give me a hint. John Daly was going to be in the. I would have been stunned if you didn't have that in there because he only won two majors.
Yeah,
American. So I
but I only gave you hints on the ones where you couldn't get the points from Jeremy because we allow you to answer.
Yeah, I didn't.
We don't allow you to steal points. So those are the only ones I gave. So anyway, the text reads. He needs to stop giving hints. He said, large U.S. golfer. And then he said, no, it's higher than that, both to Pete. And I look at his name on the board, and it is anal redundant contest rules guy. He's done this before.
Yeah.
He's the stickler in third grade that was always going, no, this isn't fair.
Rat me out. Joey stole my lunchbox. Fisherman Nat says, I know nothing about golf, but the guesses that I made in my head before you gave the answers were actually correct, and I could have won next time I'm calling in if I don't know the topic.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you should always call.
Well, the nicknames are very appropriate because earlier we got a text from a guy who was, like, griping because we were giving away Tampa Bay Rays tickets, and he was bad attitude guy. Like, who cares? Who wants to go to the Rays? Well, did you get nine callers?
Yeah, I renamed him after the fact. Yeah,
oh, did you?
Yeah,
oh, you
yeah.
did?
Yeah,
okay,
I did.
Okay.
What'd
you name him?
Bad attitude guy.
Okay. I thought that was his name before.
I cannot wait till we have our texter party.
That's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
Carl the Cape says if Chris did the age feature app, he would even look like a high schooler. It'd be close. Oh, anyway.
Ain't no redundant. That's awesome.
His kids are laughing.
Thanks for the shout out, fellas. Keep up the good.
That's good. All right, a couple of things. First of all, Rory and Tiger stunk today at the British Open. If you're just kind of getting in your car going home.
It started off about 12 hours ago for Rory. His first shot went wicked left, way left.
Wicked left.
Wicked left and way left.
He hit it by the harbor.
It would have been better if he hit it in the harbor. He hit a woman or had her cell phone anyway.
Yes.
Broke it and ended up. With a quadruple bogey on one and finished 8 over for the day. We really don't have to know much more than that.
Yeah, not good. Well, a snowman and a 7 on the 18th. It was a bad day. Tiger Woods, no good as well. He finished
7
plus
over.
7.
So he's only one stroke better.
Yeah.
He didn't have a birdie till 15. He had one birdie on 15.
Now, a couple things. On his first shot, there was a little bit of a grimace. The broadcasters made a big deal about it, but then it looked like he was swinging somewhat freely.
I don't even know if it was a grimace. I think it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I hit that cruddy shot.
But he did talk afterward, and he said he's not moving as well as he'd like, and then kept referring to the spinal fusion surgery and being 43 years old. And he says, I couldn't shape the ball today. Couldn't move the way he wanted. And so, look, I got the feeling here, Pete Shepard, that anytime there's any cool or inclement weather, he's just not going to be able to get it loose. That's what I think. And he says there's a lot of players playing well out here, and I'm not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So time to write him off on this one.
Well,
too bad.
J.B. Holmes is your leader. He tees off at 9:25 a.m. I think that's our time, I think.
Say that again. It's
J.B. Holmes is your leader at 5-under. He's supposed to tee off at 9:25. Is that
Because he'll be one of the last ones off tomorrow, right?
Well, no, it's the second day. They don't go.
Oh,
it's
then, I don't know if that's their time or our time. I don't know.
Well, if it's, no, it has to be their time. I mean, it has to be our time because it's going to be Eastern Standard Time. Got to be.
Mr. Negative still listening. He doesn't like the fact. He says, come on, man. Bad attitude. No, it's not bad attitude, guy. It's Mr. Negative.
Yeah.
He says they give those race tickets if you buy a cup of coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Well,
not true.
I don't think so. Literally, the phone's lit up for it.
Anyway,
sorry.
J.B. Holmes at 5-under. One stroke back is Shane Lowry from Ireland. And then a bunch of guys at 3, including Alex Noren, Webb Simpson, Sergio Garcia, Dylan Pertelli, Robert McIntyre, Karadik, Affan Barmrat, Ryan Fox, Brooks Koepka, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrell Hatton, all the 3-under along. So was Lee Westwood and Tony Finau, and John Rahm. John Rahm was leading for a bit. Yeah. So anyway, Koepka's there at 3-under. Still going to like him as the favorite. But the immortal J.B. Holmes.
Who?
J.B. Holmes.
Huh.
Got a hell of a beard.
Yeah, he does.
Yep.
The fescue was so thick and so wet. I don't know how these guys hit out of there and not injure their wrists or their backs. I really don't. I'm not being hyperbole.
Medic for me.
Medic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you definitely would get hurt. No doubt about it.
I get hurt. I get hurt sleeping at night, tossing in my bed.
I have done that.
Pulling muscles.
I have pulled a muscle in bed.
Something's good. Anyway.
But 201 says, I'd be shocked if Tiger finishes the round tomorrow. Don't be surprised.
He may not.
Yeah, by the back nine, he gives up. Looked like he was in pain all day today.
Well, he and Rory both are going to have to shoot 61 to get in. I mean, they're going to have to shoot in the mid-60s and pray.
Yeah.
Low 60s, really.
Yeah. Well, Rory's done it before when he was 16. He shot a 61. He owns the course record. That's why it's so surprising.
But Koepka, I think what we talked about with Jeff yesterday is that, Koepka has what makes Koepka have the advantage, not only was he awesome in Masters, but his caddy grew up playing that course, Ricky Elliott. So that is a huge advantage.
No doubt.
There were times Tiger had to hit blind, others had to hit blind over these giant hills, and they basically had to aim at like a red sweater or a Parker in the gallery and just pray that it got to the place they wanted to get.
Takes a lot of guts, no doubt about it. All right, also today, a Big Ten media day, getting ready for college. By the way, football, Hall of Fame game in 14 days. That's 2 weeks from today. That is the Falcons and Broncos. Broncos already with an injury today, second day of practice. They had a linebacker carted off. His name escapes me.
Davis.
It's Todd Davis.
Yeah.
Todd Davis carted off. So that's in 14 days. Got the Florida-Miami game in 37 days. College football's opening weekend for everybody else in 44 days. And the NFL opening night in 49 days. We are there. But regarding the media day at Big Ten, we played a lot of coaches' press conference today. We heard from Scott Frost, former Central Florida coach out in Nebraska, Mark D'Antonio from Michigan State. We did hear from Ryan Day. I think Harbaugh's speaking tomorrow.
Yep.
In case you missed it, Ryan Day gave a lot of coach speak and how much he admires Urban Meyer.
And Harbaugh tomorrow is going to be asked about the Urban Meyer, and I hope he doesn't dismiss it. He's going to have to address it.
Well, for those that don't know, he did an interview with The Athletic today, and he criticized Urban Meyer. He says, yeah, he wins a lot of games, but he has controversy everywhere he goes. So that was a pretty bold statement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the wisest statement.
Yeah.
And I like Michigan in the Michigan-Ohio State battle. I'm a Michigan fan. I grew up in Michigan. I'm also, as you know, an Indiana University grad. Now, I wasn't going to play this and bore the listener with Tom Allen, who looks like he's from the Johnson Space Center in Houston with the wire-rimmed glasses and the button-down look. But he did speak today, the head coach of Indiana, and I wasn't going to play it because I didn't want to put that upon the audience. But Rick Church listened to it. He said it was the first 2 minutes were very inspiring.
Well, we're definitely going to play it, some of it, because if for nothing else, if he said anything crazy, that's fodder for the show. You will be held responsible be held for his actions.
He said a few crazy things.
I love it.
Well,
passionate. I love it.
Shall we listen?
Yes, let's listen as much as we
can. Just a couple of minutes. Don't change the dial. It's just Indiana head football coach Tom Allen.
This will be everything.
Very excited to start year three as head coach here at Indiana.
Yeah.
We are on the cusp of opening a multi-million-dollar facility for our football players, the Terry Talon Football Complex. We'll be opening here in a couple weeks. That'll be a new football locker room and training room area and a players' lounge for our players. And really excited about the commitment that Fred Glass has made to Indiana football and continues to make. And our players are very excited about opening up that facility here very, very soon.
That's right.
I believe in what we're building at Indiana and how we're building it.
All right.
It's a process to get where we want to be as a program.
Trust the process.
Our one word for 2019 is grit.
Grit! Grit!
I define that as perseverance and passion towards a long-term goal. We're building this program on accountability, toughness, and love. I believe in those things. We're attracting young men that want to come to Indiana and be a part of our program and help us break through and make history. We have our eyes fixed on what we want and what I believe we're going to expect to accomplish at Indiana.
Like a laser.
I've learned a lot since my first season in 2017, a year where we competed and fought against the very best in our conference each and every week, but fell short and struggled to finish. We really had an issue with depth. Did not have a lot of it at that point and had to go out and recruit. So what we did as a staff was we went out and recruited the second highest ranked class in the history of our program.
Right
into last season. Developed those guys, made some changes in the weight room. Love the way our players responded. We had some depth in 2018, but it was very, very young depth.
With deep team, Pete.
Depth that caused us to be able to, at times, struggle to finish as well. But once again, competing against the best in our league each and every week. So we turn around again and go into this year. Went out and recruited, built relationships, and signed the highest ranked class in the history of our program.
Highest ranked!
So this year, I see us as a football team that is starting to build the depth that you need to compete in this conference. I would consider us a young, experienced team. We played 16 freshmen last year, 10 on defense, 6 on offense, in meaningful minutes in
now
the rotation.
We're experienced.
Those guys had a chance to develop and grow. Another offseason under our belt with our strength staff and our nutrition staff that's helping our players develop physically is
Fired
making
up.
A difference in our program.
Let's go! Let's go, Indiana! Beat Purdue! Beat Michigan.
Well, beat Purdue.
No, beat Ohio State.
That's your goal. Beat Purdue.
Voice of reason, moi. We'll give you some interesting stats here.
All right. Bring it. I'm ready to play.
Indiana's records from 11 of the past 14 seasons.
Now, why are you going to do that?
4-7, 5-7, 4-8, 5-7, 4-8, 5-7, 4-8, 6-7. 6-7, 5-7, 5-7.
Pete Chubb, that's all about the past.
7-6 in 2007.
I'm looking forward to the future.
3-9 in 2008. Now, what is interesting, well, I mean, they're in an incredibly tough division.
That's right.
Very tough.
Very tough division of a very tough conference.
Since 2013.
Yes.
Your Indiana Hoosiers.
Uh-huh.
Against Ohio State?
Yes.
Michigan?
Oh, here we go.
Michigan State?
That's a goose egg.
And Penn State?
Yeah.
Out of 24 games?
Yeah.
They have won?
One.
Two.
Oh, two. I know we beat Penn State.
2-22.
But, Pete, we take Michigan overtime every year. We're
however,
we're a step away.
However,
yeah.
Against everybody else?
Uh-huh.
29-21.
How about that? We win the games we're supposed to win. We lose the games we're supposed to lose.
They ended. Remember, they started last year on fire, 4-1,
and fuego.
Ended up 5-3 against teams outside of the East Big Four.
How about that?
But they again went 0-4 against the division's top teams, staying within single digits only with Penn State.
There's no shame in that.
Now, that removed most margin for error, and when they lost to both Minnesota and Purdue by a touchdown each,
stupid Purdue,
clinched a second straight bowl-free season and a 23rd in the past 26 years.
Thank you.
But there is hope.
Thank you for my resume.
There is hope.
Yeah.
You got to like your quarterback, Ramsey, threw for almost 3,000 yards.
He might not even be
starter.
Our starter. We got two quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a transfer from Utah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, read him a weep.
Transfer from Utah is Jack Tuttle.
Jack Tuttle.
Also,
how about that?
Also got Michael Penix Jr.
Michael what?
Penix.
Oh.
P-E-N-I-X.
Did you say his name correctly, please?
Did you say Penix? Damn it, Howard! Remember that?
Yeah.
Anyway. So
this concludes our coverage of Indiana football for the 2019 season.
2-22 against the Big Four. But look.
What are you going to do?
Didn't you beat Ohio State one? I mean, not a couple years ago where you were ahead in the third. You were ahead in the fourth quarter.
We had them on the ropes. We let them off the hook.
Yep.
By the way, our man Wig texting in earlier when he was listening to us said, damn, y'all need to work out a little if y'all pulling muscles in bed.
Well, it's like, it's not so much working out. Like, kind of. It can always do better working out, but it's just like, you know, calf muscles. And
yeah. Shouldn't get injured in bed, Pete Shepard. Shouldn't let it happen. All right.
I think a lot of people have neck injuries on pillow. I think having the proper pillow is so big for sleep.
I've gone through 100. I have a sore neck every day. I'm always trying to find the right pillow combination. I'm good with the mattress. I'm comfortable.
Yeah, mattress is fine.
It's the pillow situation that I've got to get.
You like squishy or not squishy?
A little bit squishy.
See, I like it a little bit squishy too.
Yeah.
It seems like every hotel I've stayed at, I want their pillow.
Yes! Yes,
now, why
exactly!
Why can't I just get that?
Why don't I just steal it?
I know there's like my pillow and all that. And my wife's gone through like four sets of pillows over the last, I'd say, 6 months.
Does she have her act together?
Yeah,
she's happy?
Yeah, she's fine. And she doesn't like, she's hyperallergenic. She's like, what's his name? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So,
yeah.
But I kind of like squishy. I think I'm onto the right combination, but I'm not there. I like to sleep on two pillows, but I think I might have to switch to one.
You know what I hate is when you think you've got the right combination and you're on cruise control.
And then you get
and
a
then, like, the
neck
wife,
pitch.
No, no.
Oh.
Then the wife does the laundry. I'm not being sexist.
Yeah.
And the pillows don't get put back in the right way. And you got that. You got your throw pillows. You got your own pillow. All of a sudden, your combination is thrown off.
I hate laundry day. You're so right. I hate laundry day with the pillows.
Gosh, sorry to go back to Indiana football, but some guy just called in and goes, tell Sheeman that Jack Tuttle's going to lead Indiana to their first Big Ten championship. Fact!
Fact! I love it! Bring it! Big Nip says try
Jack Tuttle
ghost
is the back
pillows.
Of, well, yeah.
What are ghost pillows? I have no idea. Quantum Leap says pulling muscles in bed. Can you even say that on the radio? Sure.
Yeah.
Toot says cramps means your electrolytes are off.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes. Yeah.
Hubert says potassium eat a banana.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about when you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens occasionally where you're in bed and you just turn the wrong way, you pull your calf muscle. It's more like a reaction. Sometimes you're dreaming and it wakes you up, right?
No, I can't turn my neck all the way. I've had a long neck problem for a long time. I don't know why. Like, even when I drive,
Matt says, I got one squishy pillow on the bottom and somewhat more firm pillow on top, and it's a nice combo.
I do the opposite
I've tried
of that.
That.
I was just
going to
say,
opposite.
I do the exact
what
opposite.
I do.
The firm on the bottom.
Firm on the bottom, soft on the top.
Yep. I've done both. I really prefer, like, when I was at that wedding in Connecticut a couple weeks ago, that's just at the hotel, just, you know, just two big squishies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a great sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
get some good pillows.
I wake up,
hotel.
My neck hurts. I still wake up, my neck hurts, and I don't know. I got to find the right combination.
Fisherman Nat said, I had the right combination of pillows one time, then I got married, and my wife moved in. I didn't like the pillows. I came home from work one day.
Oh, no.
And we had new pillows, and she threw the old ones out
no,
in the dumpster
no.
without letting me know first.
Oh, man. I'd say
annulment.
An absolute annulment. Right there on the spot. Don't mess with another man's pillows.
Celtic Lover says, go with MyPillow. It's life-changing. What kind of pillow is it? I need a brand name. I need something.
The MyPillow. That's what it's called.
Oh.
I've yet to try
it. I actually have. That's what I'm on right now. Not to do a free endorsement.
I gotta get one of those. I mean, I kind of like the ones I have right now. I guess I'm stubborn because I've used one one of them. I like to sleep on two. They're both the same. They're a little squishy, but not squishy enough. But I find that if I just sleep with one, it's better. But
I can't do
I
one
like
pillow.
Sleeping with two.
I got to have two.
I like two.
Yeah, I can't do one.
I don't know.
Because my head gets
very
frustrating. Cranked back and it hurts.
Yeah, it's weird. It's yeah. And I never sleep on my stomach, never. It's always on my back or on one side or the other.
I'm generally a side sleeper.
Yeah.
If I'm on my back, I'll start snoring, then I'll get a shot to the ribs from the wife.
No, I don't snore.
So
I can see the headline now on the podcast for this hour on the Sheehan and Shepherd On Demand. Indiana football and pillows.
Yeah. Those aren't pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
See that Bears game last week? Yes. We had a lot of planes, trains, and automobiles references today. And not to mention, Scott Frost from Nebraska had one in there, too.
Now, we told Chris he's got to see this movie.
See it.
He was on a 9-hour flight. You think he could squeeze it in and do his homework for the show? But no. All right.
801, get hurt in bed. My wife treats me like a farm animal. I don't know if it's good or bad.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I don't know if I want to be. All right, your phone calls are 239-337-ESPN. When we come back, I got a GM in the NBA that said I thought something outrageous about Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And another weird horse story that you don't want to miss. It's coming up. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on a Thursday right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Sheeman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 99.3ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Foreigner classic.
Very classic.
Seen them twice. Fantastic.
I saw them once. My wife actually took me to a concert when we first started dating. It was one of our first dates. Foreigner.
Really?
Yeah.
Lou Graham.
Foreigner 4 was out. And,
yeah, a bunch of great out. Lou Graham was the lead singer, and he got real sick. But the new guy they got is real good as well. Just an awesome, awesome group. Great show. They put on it. They're one of those bands that will play for 2.5.
Oh, it's a great show.
Yeah.
Great show. Last hour, well, we talked about Big Ten Media Days. We actually played some Indiana Tom Allen. Just
it's inspiring. You're ready to run through a wall.
I was inspired.
So I gave you all those numbers.
And then then somehow that, you brought me down. And then we got into a conversation about the proper order of pillows.
Yeah.
It's odd. Very odd segment. Well, now we have some text on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. DeBear says, Indiana football and pillows, kind of the same thing. 239 says, my wife marks her pillows so she doesn't screw mine up. That's a good wife. That's a keeper right there. 239 says, tap your mouth when you sleep. You won't snore. I don't know what that's about. And
what?
260 says, Indiana football more like cupcakes, not soft pillows. Shame on you.
That's a little harsh.
It's a little harsh. No doubt. All right, I have a question for you.
Yeah, then I was going to get into, since we're at the end of our show, but give me a question. Then I want it real quick. I think people will find it a little fascinating. First jobs in football for all 32 NFL head coaches.
Oh,
how about
that? All
right. Unless you had something else.
Okay, I got a couple things I want to get through real quick, but
sure,
we can probably get them all in.
Yeah.
All right, number one. In anonymous, and I always love it when it's anonymous, an anonymous NBA general manager says Kawhi Leonard doesn't rally his team. He said he's great at getting his points, but he doesn't elevate anyone else. He doesn't rally his team.
You know what
that
means?
Do you agree with that?
No. It sounds to me like he's looking for a rah-rah guy in the locker room. There's a lot of quote-unquote silent leaders that don't have to flip over tables and bang locker rooms and get in teammates' faces to make a point.
I think he's a great leader, right?
I think he's a very good leader. And
maybe that's
he leads on the floor when I see him.
Maybe that's the Lakers. They're complaining. Now they're bashing him behind the scenes.
Of course they are. You know that it's somebody.
Could be. I saw another story today, a total left turn here. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in sports. But, you know, every once in a while you have stories where horses are racing and working out and they're dying. And in fact, they're dying at a large rate.
Especially Santa
Anita in
Santa
California.
Anita, California.
A nearby track at Del Mar, California. Today, there were horses training and two died in a freak accident. One freaked out, threw the jockey, turned around and started running and went into a collision with another horse, full speed. Both horses died on the spot.
My God.
One was a Bob Baffert horse.
Oh, boy.
These were some high-end horses at Del Mar.
Oh, that's so sad.
The jockeys are okay, although one of them was thrown and has a sore back. But I have never heard of that in my entire life. I've heard of these.
I've seen horses go backward, but not. I mean, that's
and then collide with each other.
Well, no, not collide. It's probably a video. It's probably a very disturbing video out there for that. It's but
crazy.
I don't want to see it.
No, yeah.
That's awful.
I know, it was so bizarre. I had to mention it. All right, ESPN.com had a piece about all 32 head football coaches about where they had their first jobs in the NFL. I mean, some of them were getting coffee, some were, breaking down film and all that kind of stuff. But a couple of coaches.
I'll just go through some. Cliff Kingsbury. Aaron, going alphabetical order here. Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona. His first football job, University of Houston under Kevin Sumlin as the offensive quality control coach, whatever the hell that means,
right.
In 2008 and 2009. Dan Quinn for the Falcons. He was a volunteer assistant D-line coach at William & Mary in Virginia back in 1994. They always have a pretty solid FCS program.
Yep. Oldest football stadium in the country,
yeah.
William & Mary.
John Harbaugh. Started his coaching career in 84 at the age of 21 as a graduate assistant for his dad, Jack, at Western Michigan.
Interesting fact there.
Broncos.
Up until that point, he had not even considered coaching. Was
no.
not interested in it. Kind of got into the dirt there and loved it.
He had a political science degree from Miami of Ohio and thought he'd go to graduate school. Dad said, "You're not doing anything right now. Why don't you help me coach and see what you think?" And then the rest is history.
Not do anything. Come coach with me.
Yeah. Sean McDermott for the Bills. Grad assistant at William & Mary, also in 98.
Bill and Mary, the roots of the NFL.
Yeah, Bill. Ron Rivera, Carolina, volunteer for the Bears going into minicamp in 97.
That means
volunteer.
Unpaid, and that was for minicamp. That wasn't the real camp.
Wow.
That's how he got his start.
Matt Nagy for the Bears, coaching intern with the Eagles in 2008.
Did you hear what happened to Matt Nagy last night? He sang at the Cubs game, "Take Me Out to the Ballpark."
Oh, yeah, a ball game.
Instead of buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
No, he didn't say.
Kind of forgot the T in peanuts.
Is it peanut?
No. Redo that in your head again.
I get where you're going.
It's all over TMZ.
A male anatomy?
Yeah, buy me some male anatomy and Cracker Jack is basically what it came down to.
Nice.
All right.
Zach Taylor for the Bengals, his first football job, Texas A&M, where he served as an offensive graduate assistant and tight ends coach from 08 to 11 under Mike Sherman.
That's the way to do it. Be a graduate assistant and go get right into it right as soon as you finish your playing career.
Freddie Kitchens, offensive assistant at Glenville State College in 99. State College. I'm going to say some small school in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Could be wrong, but sure it's a fine institution. Jason Garrett, the Cowboys. Quarterbacks coach for the Dolphins in 2005.
That's one of the highest starting points I've ever seen a guy start his coaching career. But I mean, he was a player and
was an NFL assistant coach, so I'm sure that helped.
That doesn't sound like he paid his dues very much, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No. Vic Fangio for the Denver Broncos, assistant coach, running backs and linebackers at Dunmore High School in Pennsylvania in 79. That's paying your dues.
That is starting low.
Matt Patricia, grad assistant offensive line coach at RPI up in State New York in 1996.
Yep.
They had an awesome hockey team for many, many years.
I think he was a player up until that point and just wanted to continue his career after his playing career was
over. Yeah, he had to finish a couple of classes and decided to help out in the summer and fall of 96 on a way to stay around the game.
Yeah, let's see if he could turn the Lions around.
Matt LaFleur for the Packers, offensive assistant at Saginaw Valley State in Michigan back in 2003. Bill O'Brien in Houston, assistant coach of the freshman team at St. John's Prep in Danvers, which I knew in Mass, very good football team in 1988, high school team. So
that's starting low paying dues.
Frank Reich, first job at Wingate University, North Carolina.
Yep.
Volunteer coach.
Yeah.
Volunteer.
That means unpaid.
Doug Marrone for Jacksonville, tight ends coach at Cortland State, that's in New York in 1992. Andy Reid for the Chiefs as a grad assistant at BYU in 82. Good team back then.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, in fact, Steve Young was, no, was Steve Young? Yeah, Steve Young might have been on that team.
He said, who was his coach?
Oh, Lavelle Edwards.
Lavelle, that's right.
A legend, by the way.
That's right. He said he taught him, and this is a lesson he does to his players, his coaches, and his family now. It's like, all right, you can come to me and tell me about a problem, but you better have a solution, mm-hmm. and you better be able to talk me into
yeah.
it. It's good philosophy.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Anthony Lynn for the Chargers, offensive assistant and assistant to special teams with the Broncos in 2000.
Yeah.
But, again, he played 6 years in the NFL, so.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, Buccaneers offensive assistant in 2008. Jesus. Next.
It's just the McVay family. Just,
please.
Yeah. He's way to the top.
Brian Flores with the Dolphins, joined the Pats. He was a scouting assistant in 2004. And one of his first roles was being the Turk, or as he calls it, the Grim Reaper, which a lot of coaches have the Grim Reaper. That's the guy that says, hello. Joey,
hello.
Craig, bring your playbook to the head coach on cutdown day.
That's so bad.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer with the Vikings, assistant at Missouri from 79 to 80.
Really? Did he go to school there? That's interesting.
He played at Illinois State because of a neck injury. He had a shortened career, spent a year as a grad assistant at his alma mater, Missouri, before being hired as one of the four part-time coaches.
Okay.
So, Bill Belichick, staff assistant with the Baltimore Colts in 75, at the age of 23, named special assistant to head coach Ted Marchibroda. And I know he's talked about him many, many times.
Very influential.
Over the years, yeah. But he really had a spur. He had some involvement with the Detroit Lions, too.
Yeah, we should have kept him.
Yeah. Wow, that was way back. Sean Payton was a grad assistant at San Diego State in 1988 and 89.
Almost didn't make it to that job. Car broke down, didn't have money to pay for it.
Yep.
And then finally got there.
Yep.
And then was an errand boy.
Pat Shermer, Giants, grad assistant, Michigan State, 88. Adam Gase, Jets, undergrad assistant at Michigan State from 96 to 99 under Nick Saban. Hmm. John Gruden, Raiders, grad assistant at Tennessee in 86. He arrived in Knoxville as a 23-year-old son of a coach and former college backup quarterback at Dayton.
Yeah.
And the first thing Gruden had to learn was how to pace himself. He said, quote, I learned I knew nothing, and my only chance was to work hard and take notes.
Pace himself.
Yeah. Doug Peterson from Philadelphia, head coach at Calvary Baptist Academy in Shreveport, Louisiana in 2004. I'm assuming that's a high school team.
Sounds like
Mike Tomlin, wide receivers coach at VMI in 1995. Yep. You're familiar with that school.
Well, apparently, I called a game that he was, because I was at the Citadel at the time, and they were our arch rivals. So I didn't, in 95, I would have been doing those games.
Virginia Military Institute. He said he joined the VMI staff, eager to impart his coaching acumen when he learned what he called a very vivid lesson, keep my mouth shut.
Huh. Maybe he keeps his mouth shut too much now. I think he should get on his players a little more. That's just my humble opinion.
Kyle Shanahan, 49ers, grad assistant at UCLA in 2003. Pete Carroll for the Seahawks, graduate assistant at Pacific in California from 74 to 76.
Pete said he was kind of a goofball player at the time.
Yep.
And so one of his only three rules are to be on time and be early, because he never was as a player.
Mm-hmm. Always protect the team. No whining, no complaining, no excuses. Be early. Bruce Arians, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the picture of Bruce.
A lot of hair, huh?
Hysterical.
Nice hair, Bruce.
Grad assistant at Vatek in 1975. Interesting stuff. Mike Vrabel for Tennessee, linebackers coach at Ohio State in 2011. But, of course, he had some incredible playing. He's one of those guys that you just knew was going to be a good coach. Say, a lot of it has to do with major league catchers. A lot of good catchers go into become managers,
yep.
are very good.
Yep.
Regardless, they didn't have to be great catchers, but they just understand the game. Jay Gruden for the Redskins, student assistant, grad assistant at Louisville back in 1989. And that's it.
Wow, he started at Louisville, his brother started at Tennessee?
Yeah.
It's a way to do it.
He said Gruden summed it up in one word, humility. He said that's what happens when you go from being the star quarterback who flirted with the NFL to a low-level assistant whose coach, Howard Schellenberger, that was before he went to Miami, assigned you to wash his car. He said immediately put him in his place. After all, a year earlier, he had led the Cardinals to an 8-3 record, their first winning season in a decade, and finished his career with 7,024 passing yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's take this another level. First radio job ever.
Oh, WKFD. I just got out of broadcasting school.
Yeah.
And Connecticut School of Broadcasting School. And it had satellites down in Florida, too.
Yeah.
But I went to the one in Boston and got a job down the street from my hometown at WKFD, a 500-watt radio station that went down to 150 watts at night.
Why bother?
When the sun went down. Well, and I made $3.50 an hour, 15 cents above minimum wage, 40-hour week.
Yep.
I did news, sports. I had to cover like incinerator meetings. Like, you know, when it's like
I was a news director once.
Oh, there's nothing worse. It was not, but I was 20 years old. So I'm doing whatever.
Yeah.
And I ran the board, and we carried Red Sox baseball. So I know what it was like to stay up late some of these games.
Yeah.
And we carried some basketball games too. And I did some play by play as well for the local high school team. But the tower fell into a lake. I think three or four months in, they fixed it. But then we were off the air for like 3 days. And it was, you know, the station made money, believe it or not. It doesn't exist anymore. But that was my first show. How about you? That was 1987, by the way.
I was lucky in 85, 86, somewhere around there. I went to a rather well-to-do high school.
Yeah.
And that means we had our own broadcast department and had our own radio station and TV station. And so I got a lot of experience for a couple of years there. And so then when I went to Bloomington, went to IU, like the end of my freshman year, I lined up my own internship. And because I had a lot of experience, more than most kids already. And I'll never forget, I went to my guidance counselor at IU to get signed up for the internship so I could get credit for it. And he goes, we generally reserve internships around here for juniors and seniors. What makes you think that you're qualified to get this internship?
Don't you know who I am?
I said, first of all, already got the interview and got the internship. I'm just telling you to give me credit for it. I've already got 3 more years experience than any of these pinheads at this university right now. So thank you very much.
Mr. Pinheads.
And the rest is history.
Did you have
your first radio gig?
Oh, yeah. 1984, I was a student at the University of Minnesota Duluth.
Mm-hmm. National champs, back to back.
Yeah, that's right. National hockey champs. Yeah. And got an internship at a classic rock station called KQDS.
Now, was it more than getting coffee and sorting records back then?
It was, actually.
That's good. Because a lot of stations back then were just,
well,
you were coffee getters and record sorters and all that nonsense.
I was a journalism major, so this was back when radio stations, even like a rock station, had like a news department back in the day. And so I was an intern in the news department for my journalism major. But one of my favorite things to do is they used to send me to like city council meetings and local press with a tape recorder and just record it and then bring it back, stuff like that.
Yeah, but did you have to edit it and write the story about
eventually.
I hated that stuff.
Yeah.
I hated it. I had to do so much of that first few months that it just do what you're going to do, though. You just do it.
You do it. I just tallied up between the three of us, 102 years of experience in radio. How about that?
This is going out 35, 33, 34 years.
Yeah.
Right? 34 years, I think. Yeah.
All right.
I tell people, I've never worked a day in my life.
There you go. All right. Let's close it out. We got What You Got. That's next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
And What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks. Don't forget the Premier Boxing Champions World Welterweight Championship, Pacquiao versus Thurman. It's this weekend at Twin Peaks. Check it out. All right, a couple things on this date in history, 1999. David Cohn tossed the 16th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. We have some birthdays today. Sir Nick Faldo, spoke of him earlier, 61 years old.
They call him Sir.
Sir. Joe Torre, not a sir, but just Mr. Joe Torre, 79 today.
Great man.
Calvin Pete, 76. Another golfer, father of Rodney Pete. What's that?
I thought Calvin Pete passed away.
Well, today would have been his 76th birthday. Then.
Okay.
He did not show up as dead on my list.
He passed. He was a great guy.
Usually if I have birthdays, they have their dead date. He did not have his on this list. I could stand corrected, but I don't have time to look it up.
I'm 99.9% sure that he has he's left.
Well, I hope you're wrong.
I don't think I am.
All right, Pete, what you got?
Did you see what Josh Norman did when you were away?
Refresh my memory.
Josh Norman finally faced a question everyone wanted to ask when they saw the video of him doing a stupid thing, jumping that bull in Spain. What the hell are you thinking? His answer was very Braveheart-esque for me. He said, though, it's literally like, would you rather live and die? Or would you rather die and have never lived?
Mm-hmm.
He needed the rush. Give me a freaking break.
Stupid.
If I was Dan Snyder, I don't know what I would have done. I would have been livid.
Yeah.
It's going to be something in your contract. Don't jump over bulls anywhere.
Yeah. Don't jump out of airplanes. Don't ride motorcycles. And don't do running of the bulls.
Rick,
your turn.
Oh, my turn. Calvin Pete did pass away in 2015 at the age of 71.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So do I not say happy birthday, Calvin Pete?
Hey, Houston Rockets fans, breathe easy, man. The beard, James Harden, says that the city of Houston will win a NBA championship, and he's going to be there forever.
Okay.
He yesterday became a part owner of the Houston Dynamos MLS.
Yep.
And in his welcoming video that he posted on Twitter, he said, "This is my city, and I'm here to stay. I know I need to bring a championship in basketball, and I will. That's coming very, very soon. Just had to show my appreciation, let you guys know that I'm part of this city, and I'm here forever."
Hmm. Because he wasn't the one that got traded.
Poor Mike D'Antoni.
You got to give D'Antoni an extension. You can't deal with this as a lame dunk with him and Russ. You can't.
I want the ball. No, I want the ball. No, I want the ball.
I thought it was going to be bad enough with him and Chris Paul. Now you get Russell Westbrook? Seriously? And the two most ball-dominant guys in the league are on the same backcourt.
And Chris Paul don't look like he's going anywhere. He's going to stay at OKC.
Yeah, they can't get rid of him.
Nobody wants that contract.
Can't get rid of him for free.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What do we got tonight? Any play-by-play? Red Sox?
Red Sox won today 5-0 already.
Oh, they already played, so we won't have it. All right, so we got tonight. Spain and company coming up here at the top there. Their lead story today will be?
Their lead story today
British Open.
Will be
British Open.
No way.
They don't.
It'll be some media. I would say Jim Harbaugh. That could be a potential lead.
Juicy.
I'll go with that. I don't know if Davis being carted off the field for Denver might be something. But
all right.
By the way, the Rays and Yankees are tied at 2 in the fifth.
For Rick Church, stellar job today among a lot of stuff going on, Rick.
Notch.
Thank you. For Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman, and I'm awesome, too. I'll just give myself a pat on the back. Good night, and God bless America, everybody.